of this great solemnity of this great saint, Saint Joseph, a patron of the universal church. He has so many titles. I would encourage you, you can go online and just search for the titles, the names of Saint Joseph. But he, patron of the universal church, he is the guardian, the guide of every Christian in the whole world. That Saint Joseph is their patron, like their godfather. He's there to help guide you along your path. He is also known as the protector of the Holy Family. He's known as the guardian of chastity. We all need help with that one, right? He's also the terror of demons. What a powerful name that one is. Right? We know the devil is real, and when we sit in the quiet, we know how strong his temptations can be. And sometimes it feels like impossible to overcome the temptations that the evil one puts before us. This is why Saint Joseph is such a good friend for us, because he is the terror of demons. Because he was perfectly chaste, because he was perfectly obedient, then the devil has no power over him. And through his intercession, his life, he can terrorize the demon who seeks to terrorize us. And so Saint Joseph is a great friend for those of us who want to live a holy and righteous and faith-filled life, as we heard in the readings today. You know, I know we're all not Catholic, but, you know, the communion of saints, those men and women who died in the friendship of God, who had made a desire, who had expressed a desire and lived a life in conformity with God's will. And when he died, he heard those sweet words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, come and dwell with me forever in heaven." And the saints, those men and women who are living in the face of God around the holy altar, who live to make intercession on our behalf. And this is why it's good to know the saints and to know what they are given charge over. So the guarding of chastity, the protecting of families, the terror of demons. Because he has a special charge from God the Father in those realms to help us in our daily life. That he is there as our cheerleader. He's there as our mentor, as our guide, to help us in our journey through heaven. To heaven, through earth to heaven. And the readings that Mother Church give us today are so beautiful. Again, I know that you're in Catholic school and you're all biblical scholars, but just as a refresher, we heard about Abraham, and we heard about King David, and we heard about Jacob and Joseph. So Abraham lived, we can say, maybe 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus. And he lived in a foreign territory, and somehow the Lord made himself known to Abraham and called Abraham out of what was familiar to him and to go on a journey to begin the chosen people. And so that opening song that we sang, the summons, "Will you come and follow me? Will you risk ridicule and rejection from your friends and from your family if you hear my voice calling you?" Abraham is our model of that. And that's what St. Paul is referring to. He's our model of faith. He didn't have the commandments. He didn't have the law to know if he was doing the right thing or not. He simply heard God's voice and he followed. And it was credited to him as righteousness. That willing to be obedient, to follow Jesus wherever he leads. Abraham's our model in that. And then the first reading, when Samuel talks about King David, who lived about 1,000 years before Christ. And he was the greatest king and was given the promise that his kingdom, as we heard, your kingdom will never end. Your reign will live forever. The throne of your house will never go away. Until about 400 years later, when the Babylonians came in and destroyed the kingdom, destroyed the temple, and there was no more king. But what do we hear about Joseph? How was he described? A righteous man. What does it mean to be righteous? What is the scriptures trying to tell us? that he was faithful to God, that he was obedient to the law, that everything he thought and did was because he wanted to follow God. And it was he was righteous. Another translation is just. You know, we know about the virtue of justice, is that we do the right thing for ourselves and for others, and we give to people what is owed to them, what is their due. And so he was righteous in the face of God, so he gave to God everything that God deserved from him. Perfect obedience, perfect faithfulness. And so as this righteous man, as a just man, he would have been familiar with the promises of the Old Testament. He would have been familiar with the story of Abraham and how Abraham walked out in faith in spite of not knowing where he was going, leaving behind everything that was comfortable to follow God. Who of us can't use that inspiration? Don't need that encouragement. But then Joseph also would have known about the promise to King David, how his kingdom would last forever, but for the last few hundred years, there was no king in the line of David. But what did the angel call Joseph? Son of David. We can imagine it would have sparked inside of Joseph something to hearken his memory back to those promises. And as a righteous man, he would have known the promise that Isaiah was given about the year 700 or so, that the day would come when the virgin would conceive and bear a son, that the Savior would be born from a virgin. Joseph would have known that. And he knew that Mary, when she was 3 years old, had been presented to the temple to live there, and she had made a personal consecration of herself, of virginity to God, to live in the temple. And so this woman who was a consecrated virgin is now with child. He would have remembered all the promises from the past. And he would have remembered what happened to Moses when he saw the burning bush. And what did God say to him? I'm sure we all remember. God told Moses, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. You can't approach just any kind of normal way. You must show reverence, awe, and respect to this holy thing. Reverence, awe, and respect to the holy things of God. This is why Joseph wanted to divorce. He didn't think that she had cheated on him. He didn't think that she was an adulteress. He knew that the promises of God were being fulfilled in his very face, and he knew he was not worthy to be there. So he wanted to separate. And the same thing that would happen 33 years later when Jesus was talking to Peter in the boat and had this miraculous catch of fish. And when Peter saw the miracle of Jesus, what was Peter's response? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. There's a certain recoil that we should face when we encounter the holiness of God. But what the angel told Joseph, don't be afraid. Take her as your wife. What Jesus told Peter, do not be afraid. And so there should be within each of us a kind of natural fear, in the good sense of that word, to approach the things that are holy. None of us are worthy. None of us will ever be good enough. But because of what we're doing this season of Lent, preparing for Easter, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because that he loves you so much that he died for you, so that through your baptism you can live in him, he makes you worthy. He makes you good enough to approach him, to live in and with and through him. This is the power that's coming to us through the scriptures today, and in this great celebration of this great saint. That God chooses us for special purposes, for special jobs, for special roles. And so the opening song was beautiful for today. He is summoning each one of you. Just as though he prepared and called Joseph, he is preparing and calling each one of you. Will you listen? Will you hear? Will you follow? Abraham, it says, hoped against hope. He was 75 years old. He and his wife, old, way beyond childbearing years. He had wanted to have children, but it didn't make any sense. But the message came to him, you will be a father to many nations. And so rather than believing what was right here before his eyes, because of his faith, because he had been walking with God for so long, he learned to trust everything to him. When that message came, he hoped against hope. This supernatural gift that God will be faithful to his promises regardless of what seems to be happening in front of my face. How many of us suffer through dark times, suffer through the anxieties and the depressions of life, the angst of our teenage years, of broken families, of broken hearts because of choices we make with our bodies? How many of us don't live in that hopelessness? That nothing seems to be able to go right in my life. Nothing seems to be going the way that I want it to. Abraham, David, Joseph show us that we can hope against hope. And that God is God who's faithful to his promises. And so as we finish this season of Lent, with the joy and the enthusiasm that we have today because Joseph made it. Joseph proves to us that if we are faithful, that we can be in heaven too. And so as we finish out this season of Lent, preparing for Holy Week in just a couple of weeks, that in spite of any hopelessness we might find and feel in this, what's right here before us, that the crucifix, that the Holy Eucharist, the communion of saints, gives us the strength, the power for us not to be afraid, but to hope against hope. That we can leave behind the past and move forward in the joy of the resurrection. So pray for that grace. Pray for that grace to be men and women of faith. Righteous men and women. Just men and women who believe. And like St. Joseph, obey.